Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, huge pickleball venue opens at Mesa's Riverview Shopping Center. A massive new pickleball destination opened its doors at Mesa's Riverview Shopping Center on August 20. The 72,000-square-foot indoor and outdoor entertainment venue called Dink and Dine Pickle Park is Arizona's first location. The chain was established in 2022 for pickleball enthusiasts. Mesa's location has 13 pro-level courts, 10 of which are indoors with air conditioning. The restaurants will serve small dishes, full meals, seasonal dishes, and a full beverage menu. Another feature includes a stage for live music. There will be lawn games, shaded picnic tables, and fire pits. Additionally, the venue has designated dog-friendly zones. Dine and Dink's space fits up to 800 guests. The venue is also available for private events, including an indoor clubhouse with two indoor courts, three private dining rooms, a lounge, and bar. The Pickleball Haven replaced The Revelry, an entertainment venue and food hall, which opened its doors in 2020 and closed in 2021 because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Guests can reserve courts prior to arriving on the Dink and Dine website. They can also reserve a court upon arrival. Guests can bring their own paddles and pickleballs or rent directly from the venue. Courts are open from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Paddleheads restaurant, which serves full meals, is open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. The Park Eats menu, that offers smaller dishes, is open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sundays through Wednesdays, and from Thursdays to Saturdays, open 1 hour later to 11 p.m. And that story was huge pickleball venue opens at Mesa's Riverview Shopping Center. The next story, Deputies find body of man who went missing while crossing Salt River. A man was found dead after he went missing in the Salt River, northeast of the Phoenix area, according to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. At about 8 a.m. August 24, deputies received calls of an adult man struggling in the river as he attempted to cross the waterway near the Devil's Elbow area, spokesperson William Jinks for the Sheriff's Office said. Devil's Elbow is the 90-degree turn downstream from the bridge, and he was found downstream from that, according to Jinks. The man was described as a Hispanic man wearing blue jeans and a black t-shirt, Jinks said. The man's body was eventually found by divers, according to Jinks. The identity of the man was not shared, nor his exact cause of death, as deputies worked to notify his next of kin, Jinks said. Deputies used an airboat, aviation unit, and deputies on the ground to locate him, said Jinks. The Salt River is in the Tonto National Forest in Mesa and is a popular summer destination for tubing and swimming. The death was the latest in fatalities on Arizona waterways in 2025. Just days ago, the body of Richard Rick Powers, 65, was recovered after he went missing while paddleboarding on Saguaro Lake. In early August, two people drowned in the Colorado River, including a Tempe computer engineer, 32, after they had gone into the water to cool off during a pontoon boat outing. In late June, the body of a boy, 17, was found on Lake Havasu after he crashed a personal watercraft. That story was deputies find body of man who went missing while crossing Salt River. The next story, a Mesa boy, 13, attempted a robbery during an offer-up sale and was shot, police say. An online sale escalated into a shooting in North Mesa, where a man and a teen ended up being booked, police said. Brandon Marquise Major, 20, was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault, endangerment, and unlawful discharge of a firearm, according to Mesa police. A teenage boy, 13, whose name was not released, was arrested on suspicion of armed robbery, aggravated assault, unlawful discharge of a firearm, and minor in possession of a firearm, police said. Just before 8 p.m. August 19, officers responded to multiple reports of gunshots heard in the area of La Zona Drive and McKellips Road. A caller said there were bullet holes in their front door, and another said their 13-year-old son was shot, police said. Officers located the boy a block east of where shots were heard and found him with a minor gunshot to the leg, according to police. A suspicious vehicle fleeing from the scene was seen by law enforcement, with officers stopping the vehicle and detaining Major, police said. Major met the teen at a parking lot to buy a 10-carat nugget ring, posted for sale on OfferUp, a mobile platform for buying and selling. The teen pulled a handgun and robbed Major of $280 before fleeing, documents said. The man then pulled his own gun out and shot the teen in the leg, police and official documents said. Major told police he shot up the teen with at least three parking spots between them, according to court documents. Major shot at least eight rounds at the teen, documents said. The boy returned fire but did not hit Major, although several homes were struck, police said. A mother and two children were inside one of the apartments but were not injured. Bullets did pierce a mirror and door inside the home. A man and his child were in the parking lot when bullets began to strike their apartment, documents said. The boy was sent to the Durango Juvenile Detention Center in Phoenix, police said. Major was being held on a $50,000 bond, according to court records. His next court appearance was scheduled for August 26, documents said. And that story was a Mesa boy, 13, attempted a robbery during an OfferUp sale and was shot, police say. The next story, Mesa man who possessed endangered dragonfish gets probation, $31,000 fine. The shimmering red dragonfish, a coveted symbol of wealth and power that can sell for between $1,400 and $8,000 on the black market, led a Mesa dentist to federal court, where he pleaded guilty to possession of the species. Sofon Heng, who now lives and works in Seattle, was sentenced on August 20 to 1 year of probation and fined $31,140 in federal court after pleading guilty to possessing 26 Asian arowana. The Asian arowana, also known as the dragonfish, is a long, metallic-scaled fish with a hooked lower lip that resembles a forked tongue and has been illegal to import, sell, or own in the United States since 1976. The fish is classified as endangered under federal law. In court, prosecutors explained that Heng had worked with investigators and accepted responsibility, and that his cooperation made a 1 year probationary sentence appropriate. Heng had been involved in smuggling the fish in luggage and selling them, but he was only charged with possession, prosecutors said. Heng would also have 30 days to pay the $31,140 fine, an amount the prosecutors said would offset any profits he made from past sales. I just want to say I'm very sorry for what I've done, Heng said at his sentencing. Magistrate Judge John Boyle noted Heng's lack of any other serious criminal history before imposing the agreed-upon 1 year of probation and fine. And that story was Mesa man who possessed endangered dragonfish gets probation, $31,000 fine. The next story, moldy strawberries, expired ribs, among 18 health violations at Phoenix area restaurants. Maricopa County health inspectors cited four Metro Phoenix restaurants for 18 health violations during the week of August 4. Violations included moldy strawberries, expired ribs, and pastrami and sodium sulfite in guacamole. A priority violation is a major violation that directly contributes to an increased risk of foodborne illness or injury. If listed in inspection reports, remedies implemented during the inspection are noted. During the week of August 4, inspectors visited nearly 1,500 restaurants and other food-serving facilities in hospitals, senior homes, and schools. Nearly 400 restaurants received an A rating. See a sampling of the A-rated restaurants at the bottom of this article. Five priority violations. Flower Child, 1950, East Williamsfield Road, Gilbert. An employee touched their clothes before putting on gloves to prepare food. The inspector had them wash their hands first. Raw eggs were stored above produce. They were moved to a lower shelf to prevent contamination. Chicken was taken off the heat too early at 145 degrees. It was put back in the oven until it reached 167 degrees, which is a safe temperature. Cooked chicken and mashed potatoes were not hot enough. Both were reheated to safe temperatures. Cooked noodles in the refrigerator were too warm, 45 to 50 degrees, and had been there for up to 3 days. They were discarded. Applebee's Neighborhood Grill and Bar, 2032 East Baseline Road, Mesa. Inspectors found two containers of strawberries covered with brown and white organic matter and wilting at the bottom of the prep line. They were thrown away immediately. The chemical dishwasher showed 0 parts per million of chlorine instead of the required 50 to 100 parts per million, meaning dishes weren't being sanitized properly. Staff switched to a 3-compartment sink until the machine could be fixed. A container of marinara was found at 79 degrees in a steam well, which is far below the required hot holding temperature of 135 degrees or above. It was discarded. Mexican rice, deli meats, cheese, soups, and produce that were stored in the walk-in cooler were stored at 44 to 60 degrees, which is too warm. In other units, items such as lettuce, coleslaw, sour cream, dips, nacho, beef, chicken, and tomatoes were also too warm. All items were voluntarily discarded by restaurant staff. A hose with a sprayer was left attached to the mop sink faucet, which can cause backflow issues. Staff removed it on the spot after being told it's not allowed with that type of backflow prevention device. 4 priority violations. Fate Brewing Company, 201 East Southern Avenue, Tempe. The glass washer only reached 154.6 degrees instead of the required 160 degrees for sanitization. The employee stopped using the machine, set up a 3-compartment sink, and rewashed the glasses. A repairman was called. Onions and potatoes were sitting at unsafe room temperatures. The potatoes, which had been out for over 4 hours, were discarded. The onions, which had been cooked 30 minutes prior, were placed under time control. Guidance on proper time control procedures was provided. Multiple foods, including tomatoes, dressings, chicken wings, cheese, etc., were stored in a prep cooler at 45 to 52 degrees instead of 41 degrees or below. All foods were discarded. The unit was embargoed, and the person in charge agreed not to use it until it is repaired. Replacement foods were placed in ice baths. Cooked ribs and sliced pastrami were kept past the 7-day limit. All expired foods were discarded. Mariscos Sinaloa, 3135 South 48th Street, Tempe. Sodium sulfite was being sprinkled on guacamole to keep it fresh. Since this is not approved for use without county approval, it was discarded. Raw skirt steak was stored on top of ready-to-eat sauces, and raw bacon-wrapped peppers were stored above cooked octopus. The raw foods were moved to the correct locations to prevent cross-contamination. Shucked oyster shells were stored in a reused soap container. Because toxic material containers cannot be used for food, the shells were discarded, and safe containers must be provided moving forward. A hose with a sprayer nozzle was hooked up without a proper backflow device, and the nozzle was sitting in a sink basin. The hose was removed to prevent contamination of the water supply. A-rated restaurants. In Phoenix, Stan's European Deli, 1718 West Bell Road, Limon Urban Kitchen, 2750 West Dove Valley Road, Fotan, 1702 West Camelback Road, Pino, 7000 East Mayo Boulevard, Lifeboat Coffee Co., 536 East Dunlap Avenue. East Valley, S&V Urban Italian, 9343 East Shea Boulevard, Scottsdale. Amato, 6020 South McClintock Drive, Tempe. Asian Cafe Express, 1911 West Main Street, Mesa. Temari Fine Japanese Cuisine, 919 North Val Vista Drive, Gilbert. Downtown Chandler Cafe and Baker, 40 South San Marcos Place, Chandler. West Valley, Carniceria Mi Ranchito, 5035 West Southern Avenue, Levine. Ugly Tuna, 15459 West Bell Road, Surprise. The Breakaway, 633 South Estrella Parkway, Goodyear. and El Charito, 5410 West Glendale Avenue, Glendale. And that story was Moldy Strawberries, Expired Ribs Among 18 Health Violations at Phoenix Area Restaurants. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. The next story, when I heard about this, my heart burst. Family, friends, remember, missing Arizona paddleboarder. Search and rescue efforts continue for Richard Rick Powers after he disappeared while paddleboarding on Saguaro Lake. Powers, 65, was last seen around 5:45 a.m. on August 17 near Boat Ramp 1 in the Tonto National Forest. Deputies later found his paddleboard and belongings on the south side of the lake near Captain's Nook. While the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office continues its search, family and friends are remembering him as a devoted athlete, loyal friend, and longtime fixture in the Valley's paddleboarding community. If you don't know him, he seems kind of gruff, but he's one of the most giving people you'd ever meet, said his brother John Powers. His friends are everything. He'd give you the shirt off his back. Rick Powers' early paddleboarding outing was nothing unusual. He was routinely the first one out on the water before sunrise, training for his paddleboarding team's fall race in Parker. John Powers said his brother was a creature of habit when it came to paddling. He has a procedure, he said. He times every one of his paddles. I know there's no human error there, and I know he wouldn't get off the board and go hiking. When I heard about this, my heart burst. Rick Powers grew up outside Chicago in Addison, Illinois, in a family of athletes. He moved to Arizona on a wrestling scholarship at Arizona State University and has lived here since, immersing himself in the paddleboarding community. The best way to describe him is he knew exactly who he was and he was happy with who he was, John Powers said. It's a superpower to not care what other people think about you. Friends in the Valley echoed his brother's sentiments. He was a close friend, said Court Fetter, who runs No Snow Paddleboard Shop in Mesa. He helped us out whenever we needed help as a volunteer at the shop. He was on our paddleboard race team in the last year or two. He had been one of the leaders for the team. Fetter believes he was near the turnaround point of his usual course when something went wrong. Our belief is maybe he had a heart attack or a stroke or something that caused him to fall and not be able to pull his life vest, Fetter said. Sheriff's deputies have used helicopters, boats, and GPS data to track Power's last known location, and they will continue to search every morning until they find him. His disappearance has rippled through the paddleboarding community, where friends and customers have been stopping by the shop to share memories. For now, friends and family wait for news. There aren't enough people like him on this planet, John Powers said. I keep my hope up, but at the same time, every day it just breaks my heart more. I want to know something. The sheriff's office asks anyone with information about Powers' whereabouts to call 602-876-1011. And that story was, when I heard about this, my heart burst. Family, friends, remember missing AZ paddleboarder. The next story, Turning Point PAC faces campaign finance complaint in Mesa. Scrutiny over Turning Point Action's involvement in Mesa's recall election escalated after a resident filed a campaign finance complaint alleging the organization failed to disclose spending. Rich Crandall filed a complaint to the Arizona Citizens Clean Elections Commission on August 7, alleging Turnout Point PAC, the fundraising arm of the organization, failed to comply with the Voters' Right to Know Act, or Proposition 211. He stated, Turning Point PAC is at the forefront of pushing for the recall of Mesa City Council member Julie Spilsbury, but its finance expenditure reports filed to the Arizona Secretary of State's office do not reflect its spending in Mesa. Arizona voters are in the dark about who funds TPP's campaign media spending, he wrote. Crandall is a former Republican state lawmaker and friend of Spilsbury. He told the Arizona Republic he did not inform Spilsbury before filing the complaint. He said the rules on campaign media spending disclosure appeared not to have been followed. We want to kind of nip this in the bud early on. This isn't how we're going to be in Arizona, he said. Turning Point Action did not respond to a request for comment on the complaint. Spilsbury faces a recall election on November 4 after a group of residents in her East Central Mesa district launched the effort. The recall petition was filed in January and thousands of residents signed the form. Organizers told the Arizona Republic in June that Turning Point helped pay for signature gatherers. Spilsbury told the Republic in a written statement, "As their campaign literature showed, this was funded by dark money, out-of-state dollars, and Turning Point used this money to pay for petition gatherers who don't even live in Mesa." The Voters' Right to Know Act, approved by voters in 2022, expanded election spending transparency and required the disclosure of the donors who give to an umbrella organization. According to Arizona's Secretary of State office, disclosure is required if an individual or entity gives $5,000 or more to a committee that spends at least $25,000 on a given local campaign. An individual or entity must disclose their campaign media spending, the source of the funding, and any intermediaries or entities, or decide how the funds are spent. Crandall stated in the complaint that Turning Point volunteers passed out flyers to residents with anti-Spilsbury literature. The flyers were paid for by Turning Point PAC, tppac.com, with 100% of contributions coming from outside state contributors, he wrote. The black and red flyers with Spilsbury's face called her a liberal activist for a 2024 presidential endorsement of Kamala Harris's campaign. Turning Point PAC's July campaign finance reports don't disclose any expenditures for the advertisements, he said. Crandall stated the initial report only lists the spending TPP did to support Biggs' gubernatorial race, leaving Arizonans in the dark about TPP's activities in Mesa. He said the documents contradict what is printed on the flyers. The organization faces a second complaint that was filed in early August over its support for Andy Biggs' gubernatorial bid. Biggs is a five-term congressman seeking the GOP nomination for governor next year. Turning Point PAC's attorney, Eric Spencer, of the firm Snell & Wilmer, said in a letter to Clean Elections, the complaint, filed by a progressive group called Unity Rising, was without merit. Expenditures to that point had been paid for with small-dollar contributions, and none exceeded the $5,000 threshold for reporting set in the Voters' Right to Know Act, Spencer wrote. Turning Point PAC discloses all its donors, regardless of how much they give, through the Federal Election Commission, the letter said. The Clean Elections Commission is responsible for campaign finance enforcement in the state and has the authority to assess civil penalties. Turning Point PAC's response to Crandall's complaint is due to the commission on September 8, Tom Collins, the commission executive director, told the Arizona Republic. Crandall requested that the commission investigate Turning Point PAC and enforce its obligation to disclose its campaign media spending. Unchecked, TPP will be allowed to continue sinking hundreds of thousands of dollars into state and local races, including the recall effort it initiated in Mesa, all without disclosing critical parts of what the act requires, Crandall wrote. And that story was Turning Point PAC faces campaign finance complaint in Mesa. The next story, fourplex planned near Gregory, Palo Verde Drive, in Apache Junction. Rezoning 0.62 acres to allow the construction of a new fourplex to replace one building is to be discussed at Tuesday's Apache Junction Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The commission meets at 7 p.m. Tuesday, August 26, in the Council Chambers, 300 East Superstition Boulevard. Ermelinda Pando of Ermelinda Properties, LLC, is seeking to rezone 282 North Palo Verde Drive from medium-density single-family detached residential to high-density multiple-family residential by plan development and a minor general plan amendment from medium-density residential to high-density residential. The property is developed with five leased residential units. The current zoning only allows for one single-family residence. In 2021, the property owner at the time applied for legal non-conforming status by providing documentation establishing that the construction and usage of the buildings on the property predated these city zoning standards and is permitted to continue usage as noted, senior planner Nick Leftwich said in a staff report. The documentation provided included the Pinal County tax assessment of the property, noting that Unit A was constructed in 1934, originally as a single-family home, while the two duplexes were both constructed in 1950, all predating the city's zoning standards adopted in 1985 and the city incorporation in 1978, it states. The rezoning and minor general plan amendment requests would resolve the existing legal nonconformity of multifamily duplexes on a single-family residential property and allow for the construction of a new fourplex to replace Unit A, the west building on the property, it states. The primary duties of the Planning and Zoning Commission include community contact regarding items including a zoning change request to an application from a developer for a shopping center development or housing project. Also included are conditional use permits, with the final decision being handled at the Planning and Zoning Commission level, according to the city's website. And that story was fourplex planned near Gregory Palo Verde Drive in Apache Junction. The next story, section of Stagecoach Road alignment extinguished in Apache Junction. A federally patented easement of the Stagecoach Road alignment from Scenic Street to the Tamarisk Street alignment in Apache Junction has been extinguished. The council voted unanimously August 5 as part of a consent agenda with other items to approve a resolution extinguishing the easement. Federally patented easements were created by federal law and inherited by the city from Pinal County upon city formation and subsequent annexations. They are the means where properties are accessed by citizens in portions of Apache Junction to mitigate the need of acquisition to serve access to otherwise landlocked parcels, project engineer Raquel Schatz said in a memo to the council. The federally patented easements typically are a total of 66 feet in width, with 33 feet on each side of common parcel lines, she said. The Stagecoach Road alignment federally patented easement from Junction Street to Tamarisk Street alignment has never been maintained by the city and is not classified as a local roadway, Schatz said. The owner of both properties filed an application for the extinguishment. They're seeking an extinguishment for general landscaping to enhance both their properties and possible future development, she said. Once the easement has been extinguished, the property owner can landscape between their two properties, meanwhile closing it to the public for safety concerns. The story was section of Stagecoach Road alignment extinguished in Apache Junction. Remember, if you miss a show, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. You can take SunSounds with you by getting our streaming and on demand on our new SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones, and you can hear SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. This has been East Valley News covering Mason Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Stay tuned for more excellent content on SunSounds of Arizona.